Exodus 34, and let's read what will be our text, which is verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. A couple of weeks ago, we did a study on the word must. We just studied through the scriptures on the word must. We looked at different scriptures that declared the musts of our Savior's work and of our salvation. Must. That study was such a blessing to me, I wanted to do it again. So tonight, we are going to study the word mercy. We're going to study the word mercy. God's mercies. Verse 6 says, merciful. Merciful. If the Lord is willing, Sunday morning we may study grace. The next word is gracious. Be fine with me if we went on and studied long-suffering, goodness, truth. But tonight is mercy. Now, before we get into this, I want to acknowledge this first. All right, go with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32, and I'll go ahead and tell you that we're going to do some turning. So let's get ready to do some turning through the scriptures. But Genesis 32, verse 9, it says, and Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. This is what he said. Verse 10. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. Let's start right here. When it comes to God's mercy, we are not worthy of it. We don't deserve it. We do not deserve it. We're not worthy of it, and we don't deserve it. I love the true story of that man who was in the courtroom, and his son was about to be sentenced to prison. And he asked the judge on his son's behalf. He said, Your Honor, is there any room for mercy? And the judge said, based on what your son has done, he doesn't deserve mercy. And the man said, That's true, Your Honor. But if he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. If he deserved it, it wouldn't be mercy. Now, this is glorious. Mercy is for the undeserving. Mercy is for the undeserving. You know what that makes mercy? For us. Mercy is for us. Is that not wonderful news? Mercy is specifically for the undeserving. All right, now let's take a minute and look at the mercy. Look at God's mercy. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy 4, verse 31. It says, "For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." Mercy is an attribute of God's character. It's an attribute of who he is. It describes his person. It tells us what he's like. It's one of the attributes that tell us what he's like. We see him in his word, and one day soon we're going to see him as he is, face to face as he is. This is what we can expect to see. This is what he's like. When you talk to him, when you have a conversation with him, and you say things to him and he says things to you, this is what you can expect. Verse 31 says, "The Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them." It's an attribute of his character. David said in Psalm 116, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful." Our God is merciful. He is. Mercy comes from God. There's only one source of eternal mercy. There's only one place that eternal mercy comes from. It comes from him. Because he is mercy. He is mercy. Look with me at Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Verse 15, it says, "Look down from heaven and behold from the habitation of thy holiness and of thy glory." Look down from where you are. "Where is thy zeal and thy strength? The sounding," and that word means the multitude, "of thy bowels." That word bowels means heart. The multitude of what's in your heart. "And of thy mercies toward me, are they restrained?" Mercy originates in the heart of God. That's where it originates, in the heart of our God. When we get a glimpse of mercy, we are getting a glimpse into the heart of our God. When the Lord opens our eyes to see something and understand something of mercy, we're taking a look straight into the heart of our God. Micah 7 verse 18 says, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." He delights in mercy. You've been around somebody, and learned something of them and noticed something about them, noticed something of their character, known what they're into. You can't be around one man long enough before you find out this man loves fishing. Man, he loves fishing. Or this man over here loves music. He loves mercy. You won't be around him very long at all before you realize this man delights to show mercy. He loves mercy. So that's the first thing about mercy. It's an attribute of the character of who our God is and what he desires in his heart. He desires and he delights in mercy. That's beautiful to me. That is just Gorgeous. Precious. All right, turn with me to Exodus 33. Exodus 33, verse 18. And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. God's mercy is sovereign. It's sovereign. It originates with Him in His heart. It's His. It belongs to Him. It's His. And He gives it to whoever He pleases in His heart to give it to. It's sovereign. Now, to a Pharisee who feels like he deserves it, well, that's not good news at all to him. He hates hearing that. He absolutely hates hearing that. He thinks he's owed it. A Pharisee thinks he deserves it. He thinks he's earned it. And a Pharisee who thinks a man hasn't earned it, he doesn't want him to have it. Well, you hadn't earned it. You don't deserve it. That's terrible news. But to a sinner, I mean to a broken sinner, who knows in his soul he does not deserve it, and is not worthy of it, does not deserve it, is not worthy of it, to hear that mercy is not earned. It is not earned, but it's freely bestowed. Not based on merit, but based on the kindness of God's heart. That's the greatest news a sinner has ever heard in his life. That's the greatest news he's ever heard, because he knows, even though I'm not worthy of it, and even though I don't deserve it, it may still come to me. God may choose me. If it was based on my merit, there's no way I'd receive it. But a true sinner will cry, thank God for sovereign mercy. Thank God. Hail sovereign love that first began the scheme to rescue fallen man. Sovereign mercy. Thank God for it. Go with me now to Lamentations chapter 3. Just after Jeremiah, Lamentations, chapter 3. Lamentations 3, verse 21 says, this I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Mercy is what demands our salvation. Mercy is what absolutely demands our salvation. It demands it. Titus 3 verse 5 says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. His mercy demanded our salvation. Demanded it. That old Ed Hale song, A Ransom Was Found. Ed Hale was a dear preacher in South Louisiana, a preacher of the gospel, and he died when I was young. But my family knew him and loved him. And oh, how merciful he wrote that song. But he wrote some good songs. And in one of his songs, there's a line, and it says, talking about a sinner being bound to sin, destined for hell, it says, "Turn him loose, for a ransom's been found." And a ransom was found. Yes, a ransom was found. Love paid the price. A ransom is the price owed. How much is owed? Love paid the price on Calvary's mound. Judgment was met. The law satisfied. And mercy was born when a ransom was found. The mercy that was in the heart of God, it came forth. It was openly revealed when Christ paid the ransom price on Calvary. That's where mercy was born. Judgment was met. You know, that is the glory of the gospel. Those three things right there. You know, sinners do come to know something of their sin. They do get a hold of their sin and the judgment of God. And all of a sudden they realize in Christ, in this great transaction on the cross, judgment was met. Oh, but the Word says this, and the Word says this, and the Word says this. Well, what about this? And what? I don't do that. I've broken that. What about all that? The law was satisfied. No, I didn't do it, but He did. I didn't keep it, but He did. And what that means is mercy was born through the substitution of Christ on the cross. With that price now being paid, mercy demands the salvation of God's people. It demands the salvation of all of them. Just listen to this wonderful verse of Scripture. This is Psalm 94, verse 18. "When I said, my foot slippeth, Thy mercy, O Lord, held me up." Mercy demands it. All right, now here's where we are so far. Mercy is an attribute of the character of God. It reveals what's in His heart, who He is and what's in His heart. Mercy is sovereignly given to whoever our Lord purposes in His heart to give it to. Mercy is what demands the salvation of that sinner. Whoever it's given to, that mercy demands his salvation. All right, now look with me at this glorious truth. Go to Isaiah 55. Back a few pages to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, verse 3 says, "Incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David." God's mercy is bound by His covenant. It's bound by His own covenant. Once He gives it to a sinner, He will never take it back. Once He gives it, He'll never take it back. The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. He will never change His mind. "Oh, you better not do that. You're going to lose your salvation." Not if God saved you, you won't. He will never change His mind. He changes not. Therefore, His mercy changes not. That's why we're not consumed. Solomon said in 1 Kings chapter 8, he was dedicating the temple, praying to God. He was giving thanks for all of God's goodness to him, giving them this house to worship him in. And he opened his prayer with these words. These were the first words he said. He said, "Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee, in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy." There's no God like you that keeps covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. Covenant and mercy. He said, thank God for binding your mercy with a covenant. That's where our peace comes from. That's where our absolute peace comes from. Could you imagine the fear that we would be thrown into if we thought for one second that God's mercy was not bound by His own covenant? That if somehow we had to keep ourselves in His mercy. That covenant, that surety, that's what allows us to just settle down and rest. Just rest. Knowing that the mercy that demands our salvation is bound by His covenant. Ordered and sure. Cannot be undone. Cannot be undone. All right. Stroll with me through some Psalms. And then we'll be finished. All right. We'll stroll through just a few Psalms and then we'll be finished. Go with me to Psalm 25. Psalm 25, verse 6 says, "Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old." God's mercy is tender. It's tender. Tender means compassionate and pitiful. Compassionate and pitiful. The margin right there for tender says bowels, heart. Heart. The mercy that comes from God's heart is compassionate, it's pitiful, it's loving, it's kind, it's tender. It's tender. Tender mercy. It's what makes Him bow down His ear to hear us. It's that tender, tender mercy. God's sovereign mercy is not hard at all. It's loving, it's kind, it's compassionate, it's pitiful, it's tender. Very, very tender. Look with me at Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 16 says, "Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Lord, would you bow down your ear toward me? And would you hear my cry? Do you ever find yourself asking Him that? Lord, would you please hear my cry? Please, thy will be done. Thy will be done. But Lord, would you please bend your ear down to me and hear me? Lord, would you do it for your compassionate, pitiful mercy's sake? Would you just do it for mercy's sake? Please, please hear my cry. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness." Would you do it because of your loving kindness? "According to the multitude of thy tender mercies." Lord, blot out my transgressions. Blot out my sin. Would you do it because your mercy's tender? Would you do it because your mercy is compassionate and because you're full of pity, so full of pity toward your people? You know what he says? I will. Didn't he say, ask and you'll receive, seek, you'll find, knock, it'll be open. Oh, would you please have mercy? Please hear me and have mercy. Please. Yes, I will. Yes, I will. His mercy's tender. It's tender. Turn over to Psalm 86. Psalm 86, verse 5 says, "For Thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon Thee." There is plenty of it. There is plenty of it. God's mercy is tender and there's plenty of it. There is plenty of it. I've said it before and I say it again. I would love to find another sinner. Last time I said it, I said, I'd love to find a sinner. I believe I found some. I believe I found one right here. This time I want to say another. I'd love to find another sinner. I'd love to find another soul who fears standing before God and knows what he is and knows what he's done and is crying, God, be merciful to me. I would love to tell that sinner, there's plenty of it. Plenty of it. There's so much mercy. There is so much mercy. There's so much mercy. The ocean doesn't compare to the mercy that comes from God. Verse 13 right here says, "For great is thy mercy toward me." Great amounts of mercy. Ephesians 2 says, "But God who is rich in mercy," so much mercy, indescribable amounts of mercy. Verse 15 right here says, "But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth." Plenty. We just read a second ago in Lamentations 3, his mercies are new every morning. They start over brand new every morning. That compassion, that pity starts over every single morning. Good news about God's mercy. There's plenty. There's plenty of it. It's tender. It's plenteous. And turn with me to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting." It's tender. There's plenty of it. And once you receive it, it is everlasting. Everlasting. There's no end to God's mercy. No end. Psalm 103, verse 17 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children." Lord, let that be so. Let that be so. Oh, what kind of thanks would we give to our God if His mercy was not only to us, but to our children and to our children's children? Oh, Lord, I beg, Lord, God be merciful. God be merciful. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, "Praise ye the Lord." This is the resolve a believer comes to. "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy endureth forever. Mercy is an attribute of God's character. It's sovereign. It's what demands our salvation. It's bound by covenant. It's tender. It's plentiful. And it's everlasting. Now, if God has shown mercy to you and me, if God has shown mercy to you and me, here's how we will know it. Here's how we'll know it. Now, don't turn over there, but Ezekiel 36, the Lord declared all of the glorious things that He was going to do for Israel. All of the wonderful things that He was going to do for His people. He declared the mercy He was going to show to His people. The salvation He was going to bring to them. But He said in verse 37 of that chapter, He said, they are going to ask Me for it. He said, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. They're going to ask Me for it. If God has shown mercy to us, this is how we'll know it. And this is real. This is real. You will know what takes place in your own heart. Every person will know what takes place in their own heart, in their own time, in their own prayer before God. Every person will know. This is it. This is how we'll know it. If God has had mercy on us and given mercy to us, we will spend the rest of our life on this earth sincerely in the heart begging God for mercy. That's how you'll know. We'll spend our every waking minute. We'll ask for it and we'll ask for it and we'll ask for it. If God has shown mercy, then we will be beggars of mercy. Those who have not received mercy are not beggars of mercy. I thank Thee, Father, that I'm not like that sinner who needs Your mercy. I don't need it. I'm good. If He's shown it to us, we will be beggars of mercy. We'll never stop crying out for mercy. Never. Never. If in your heart, you never get past crying out for mercy. If that's where you are, if that's where you've been, and if that's where you see yourself being for the rest of your days on this earth, then rest in His mercy. Take a break. Rest in His mercy. Everyone who asks for it and begs for it has already received it. That cry is faith, and that's not of ourselves, it's the gift of God. Every sinner who asks for it has already received it. It's the evidence. Asking is the evidence. Begging is the evidence that we have already received something directly from the heart of our God. That's the evidence. It's the evidence that we've already received something sovereign. We've already received something that demands our salvation. We've already received something that's bound by covenant. We've already received something tender. We've already received something plenteous. And we've already received something everlasting. His mercy. His mercy. Thank God for mercy. All right, let's all stand together.